we look at analyses to try to find out when important legislation is passed or when states make the most progress in fixing what seem to be intractable problems. Divided government isn't necessarily a problem. Unified and divided governments seem to do about equally well. So I think in some ways it's just more important that there's a decent cooperative relationship between the governor and the legislature, and we really haven't had that with unified democratic government.
That's political scientist Brian Gaines with the U of I's Institute of Government and Public Affairs. This is Morning Edition on WYLL.
And this, of course, is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, and with a look at what's been happening in the overnight trade at the CME Group in Chicago and an update of the agricultural weather forecast and cash prices. The national average basis, by the way, for corn overnight was unchanged at 24 cents under the March contract, while the DTN National Corn Index was up 2 cents at $3.61. The national average basis for soybeans unchanged at 47 under the March futures, and the DTN National Soybean Index was up 9 cents. The cash price now at $9.34 a bushel. Nationwide, a quick look at the weather forecast tells us outside our studios we're at 24 degrees here in Urbana-Champaign on our way to a partly sunny sky with a high of 36 tonight, a low of 29 degrees. Let's check the agricultural weather forecast now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Tranquil weather will be occurring across portions of the Midwest as we go forward through this next full week and possibly 10 days. The weather trend is going to continue to promote an opportunity for some warming as well, at least for the next 5 days or so. The warm-up will be important in melting some of the snow across the Midwest at a gradual pace. Most of the region did get some significant snowfall here recently, especially from Iowa into parts of Ohio, and if that snow melts too quickly, we may end up with some localized flooding on our hands. But with the weather pattern being what it is over this next 5 to 7 days, we are going to see temperatures warm, but only gradually, and the snow will slowly melt. That'll give it a chance to run off into rivers and streams without creating a big flood risk for the majority of the region. We'll continue to monitor the situation rather closely, but until we get a larger storm system to threaten the region, we shouldn't have much of an issue. The temperatures across the region this morning already notably warmer than those of the past couple of days. Temperatures running mostly in the teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest. And the skies are mostly fair. There's a little bit of cloudiness out there in a few spots, and light southerly breezes have begun to evolve across parts of the region. As we go through the next few days, we are going to continue to see generally dry weather. Now, there will be a risk of a little bit of precipitation every once in a while, but we are not expecting it to have a huge impact on the majority of the region. Most of the precipitation will be held to the far northernmost portions of the Midwest. A little stationary frontal boundary will likely be responsible for some occasional snow and a wintry mix of precipitation types across the northern Great Lakes region. But the earliest that any kind of precipitation could occur further to the south would probably hold off until Sunday and Monday. At that time, a little low pressure center will bring a little bit of mixed precipitation types across the region from Iowa into Ohio. The moisture totals will be low, though, running at just a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe 0.2 inch at the most. That system will be followed by another period of drier weather, but another storm system is expected to reach into the northern plains at some point around Monday or early Tuesday. That system will also march across the northern portions of the Midwest as we move through the middle part of next week, with another round of snow expected to come with that. Colder air will come in behind it. That'll end the warming trend for a while. The middle to latter parts of next week will be notably cooler again across parts of the Midwest. But we will experience some nice warmer days coming up here over the next few. We're expecting to see highs today still rather chilly in the teens and 20s across the northern parts of the region, but 30s and some 40s will occur elsewhere, with some 50 degree readings in Missouri, Kansas, and parts of Nebraska. The warm air will work its way further to the east and north as we get further into the weekend. Our warmest afternoon will probably be on Saturday, when we'll expect to see highs running in the 30s and 40s north and the 50s and some lower 60s in the southwest. We'll expect the temperatures to cool back down just a little bit as we move into the early part of next week after that first little disturbance passes through the region, and highs will be in the 20s and 30s in the north and 30s and 40s in the south. We'll turn right around and warm things back up again real briefly during the middle part of next week before the bigger cold snap comes into the region and drops temperatures below average again towards the latter part of next week. In the meantime, down in South America, nothing changes today versus that of recent past days. The forecast continues to promote periodic rainfall and periods of sunshine in both Argentina and Brazil, which will translate into ongoing good crop development potentials. Now, Argentina will be very warm to hot at times this weekend, and that will likely accelerate drying rates, so some areas may dry down a little bit in the topsoil, but subsoil moisture should stay sufficient to carry on normal crop development through much of the next 10 days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line to take up the overnight trade and the expectations for the rest of the day at the CME Group in Chicago is Bill Merrim. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Bill. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about overnight trade, and then we'll discuss a bit about the cash market and maybe some crop insurance.
So far this morning, I think we were overnight, and now we've seen the outside markets kind of influencing thing. We've kind of seen as we've changed things here a little bit this morning on the dollar and that, and it's gained some strength. The grain markets have turned around, kind of went lower, or we're higher most of the night. So it just seems like we're continuing this trend here that we've had where the outside markets are influencing things, and as we see some changes in the gold and the dollar and the crude, we kind of see that reflected in the grain side of things.
And at this hour, futures are about, 3 cents lower in the corn, nearly the same in the soybeans.
Yeah.
Wheat futures taking some heavier losses, not big, but heavier.
Down about six and a half.
Yeah, so as you take a look at this and you think about the crop insurance setting month, and I think we're now at on an average of, $4.12, I think, on the December contract for the month. We're not very early in. Does it give you any cause to consider options, not options themselves, but options that farmers might use in the coming year to protect themselves and their growing corn crop?
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't think any change that we've seen here in the prices at this point really reflect on the crop insurance, other than I think we're going to have, relatively low prices compared to the last few years. And that probably means that the premium cost will be somewhat less because your guarantee is going to be less. So I think you probably try to maximize your guarantees and, you compare that to maybe what, cost to the 80% cost you last year, maybe compared to what the 85% cost you this year. I think that's kind of the way a guy's got to look at it, just from a basic point of view right now.
Do you have a different version for soybeans? Now we're looking at least at this point, a $9.58 average, and there's much more bearish tension, I think, in the soybean market.
Yeah. I kind of think, and we talked last night when we had our panel, I still think we're kind of debating the acres here a lot, and I'm not sure that we don't see some support, and part of what we saw earlier in the week, whenever we get down to some support levels here, that we see the buyers kind of come in, and I don't want to use the term that's probably overused, buying acres, but I do think there is some awareness in the trade that what happens here in February certainly has some effect on what guys end up planning here from the standpoint of guarantees and their floor coverage.
Speaking of our panel last night, I think it went very well, and we'll have another one again next week. We'll be in Galesburg at
Galesburg
Agri Center there. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for taking the time with us this morning, Bill.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Bill Mayer. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. They're sponsoring a series of events that involve WILL. This next one for them is that the Knox Agri Center in Galesburg, Illinois. That's free, open to everybody. Starts at 6:30 with a little crop insurance meeting. Then we'll have Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, and Chip Nellinger with us. Chip, by the way, will be in Joliet tomorrow. I know he's on the Farmland Forum earlier in the morning. And then we'll have a panel there, too, with Matt Bennett, Chuck Shelby, and Gary Schnitke at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum in Joliet tomorrow morning. That one does cost $75 to get into, but it's the whole forum, and that's a day-long event. event. Your $75 includes the lunch at the noon hour. So if you want to come, that's open and everybody should come. Check out chicagofarmers.org or just our website at willag.org. Here's the way the numbers are trading in Chicago. March corn now is down 3.25 cents at $3.82 at a quarter. The May at 3.89 and 3 quarters, 3.5 lower. In December at 4.12 at a quarter, down 3 and 3 quarters for the day. March beans at 9.80 down 1 cent. July at 9.91 and 3 quarters, down a penny. November 9.64 and a half, down a quarter for the day. Bean meal down $1.50. Bean rather up $1.50. Bean oil down 13 cents. Wheat futures are down about 7 on the day. Live cattle futures are up $1.62 and a half, and the April feeder feeder cattle at 198.35 are up 2.50. And April lean hogs for the day at 67.85 are up $1.57 and a half. Of course, you're listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbanum. Coming up on the top of the hour, it is 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Please do visit our website. The address there, of course, is will.illinois.edu.
Good morning. The search for a political solution in Ukraine today brings together three heads of state. France's president and Germany's chancellor travel to Moscow to meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin. On Morning Edition from NPR News. We have an answer for two sharp-eared Morning Edition listeners who wrote us yesterday with the same question. Why can't planes be tracked the same way as ships? I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Also, an AIDS doctor in the Bronx noticed a high rate of HIV infection in one community of Honduran immigrants. To reach them, Dr. Julie Hoffman joined forces with Faith Healers. And on StoryCorps, a Texas man who speaks through a computer after a traumatic injury. It's Friday, February 6th. Longtime anchorman Tom Brokaw has a birthday. He's 75. News is next.